time.
It's time for the OTH Daily Podcast.
7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Happy Friday, and welcome to the OTH Daily Podcast. I'm your host, the man behind the mic, Christian Rao. We have a great episode for you guys today to get you through the work week and into the weekend. It is January 10th, 2020. Let's get started. Edward Strange is a football writer for OTH and will be joining us today to discuss the NFL playoffs. You can find him on Twitter at Ed Strange.
Hey Ed, how you doing? And happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday, Christian. Glad to be back on with you, man.
I hear you there. I'm also glad to be back as well. And I'm glad to have you on as my first guest is back on the OTH Daily Podcast. And we're going to dig right into the most important topic of today to get you guys ready for your weekend as you guys are driving to work or your commute or wherever you are listening today. And that's the NFL playoffs, divisional playoff round getting underway tomorrow and Sunday. And it's going to be some great games. We, you know, wild card weekend didn't disappoint. And, you know, we fought the same way. We thought that was going to be the case. But it starts off with some fantastic football on Saturday, 4:30 Eastern. We got the Minnesota Vikings against the San Francisco 49ers. Minnesota Vikings won a very close game against New Orleans Saints. Controversial call at the end, possible pass interference. Little ironic because it was with the Saints, but the Vikings will wind up winning the game. They'll move on and head to San Francisco. San Francisco, number one seed in NFC. In the NFC, Niners have won 4 of 5 playoff games against the Vikings. This is going to be a great matchup. It's going to be a great way to start the divisional round. What'd you think about the Vikings in the wild card round, and how do you like their chances as they head to San Francisco?
Well, that Vikings game was definitely, for me, the one game I was pretty interested the most. I am surprised how it came out. The Vikings played one hell of a game. They had the running game going. They were keeping Breeze in control, really, for the most part. Michael Thomas didn't hurt him too much, but, I mean, the Vikings played the perfect game. Rudolph probably got away with a little bit of a pass interference there, but at the same time, in a close game like that, are they really going to kind of make that call? You really know. So I think it was kind of, we knew that call was not going to get overturned at the end of the game, and hey, the Saints didn't stop them. So when you come down to it that way, the Saints had a chance to win that game, but the Vikings just executed better in that overtime drive.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The only thing that I would say otherwise is I wish they would have at least reviewed it just so it could have maybe helped and dampen a little bit of the controversy. That didn't happen just for the sake of Saints fans, because they dealt with it last year in the playoffs and the year before they lost to Minnesota. So just for the sake of Saints fans, I wish that would have happened. But looking at this 49ers team, this team's no joke. There's a reason they're the number one seed in the NFC. Now, it was a close race to get to that number one seed. They didn't clinch it until week 17 with that win against Seattle. But Jimmy Garoppolo has really showed that he can be a top elite quarterback in this league after being injured last season. And their defense is no joke either, with a player that we'll be talking about at NFL honors, possibility of NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year and Nick Bosa. This team is very good. What do you have looking forward to this game at 4:30 tomorrow, Vikings or San Francisco, and why?
I think it comes down to how Garoppolo is going to play. And it's kind of been the story of the whole year. If Garoppolo doesn't turn the ball over and the Niners can run the ball and control the clock, they should handle this game pretty easily. Now, obviously, it's not going to be a walk in the park. Minnesota has a pretty damn good defense. But when everything's said and done, when Garoppolo really hasn't turned the ball over and their running game is effective, that zone read style offense that Shanahan uses is pretty lethal. I mean, I go back to when he was here as the OC for the Browns, and that running attack with him in that zone run scheme is absolute murder on defenses if it's executing.
Well, we will have a brand new Super Bowl this year, no matter who makes it. And obviously last week, the New England Patriots were eliminated. And that's where we get to our next game, our primetime game on Saturday night, 8:15 Eastern time is the scheduled kickoff. And that's the Tennessee Titans, the sixth seed. They're heading in to playing the one seed on the AFC side. And that's the dangerous and explosive Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. This team left the season 14-2, something that was not expected, I think, throughout the whole season. If you had told me at the beginning of the year that the Ravens were going to go 14-2 and be the number one seed, I'd be shocked. I wouldn't have believed you. And this Titans team, what they've done with Ryan Tannehill and what they've done with Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel, what he's done with this entire team, it's amazing. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen in this football game. Out of the four preseason matchups that they've happened, well, I'm sorry, out of the three, this is the fourth postseason matchup between these two teams. The road team has won all of them. Tennessee's on the road. Are we going to see that streak continue, or does Baltimore have a better chance of winning this game?
The Titans surprised the hell out of me last week, but we kind of touched on that when we were talking about this last week, that it's kind of one of those things where you don't necessarily want to pick against the Patriots, but you knew they were definitely vulnerable with how they've been playing this year. So in a way, it wasn't a surprise that the Titans did what I think it was the surprise that the Titans went in to Foxborough and basically out-physicaled New England up and down the field and just basically ran the ball right down their throat.
I'm really enjoying this matchup. I think this matchup is going to be a lot closer than a lot of people are expecting, and mainly because of that Derrick Henry matchup. It's just really the biggest obstacle that Tennessee is going to have to face is, can they stop Lamar Jackson? Can they contain Lamar Jackson? That's been an issue for almost every football team this year as they face Baltimore. Does Tennessee have that opportunity, and do they have the abilities to do that, especially while they're in Baltimore in this matchup tomorrow night?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the Titans, I think, are going to be the toughest matchup defensively that the Ravens will face in this playoff run. They are able to get past them because they have the defensive talent to, one, lock down the receivers, but also they can cover tight ends. If you kind of go back to what Lamar's weaknesses has been, and I heard somebody talk about this earlier this week, when the Ravens have played a good defense, Lamar barely averages 150 yards throwing. So if they can lock down the receivers and mainly Andrews, his tight end, and control Lamar in the pocket and tackle him, I think you could possibly see the Titans pull off another upset.
It was a fantastic weekend on wildcard weekend for the road team, for the actual wildcards. Three of the four teams that wore the wild card wound up winning the football game and beating the division winners. The only unfortunate one that did not win was my Buffalo Bills. And it's very unfortunate. I have to say that out there. They crumbled. They did not look very good at the end of the game. Some undisciplined play, but Houston looked fantastic. And the Houston Texans are going to face the Kansas City Chiefs as we begin the games on Sunday. It's at 3:05 Eastern. And this is a great matchup. I think these two teams are really going to mesh. I think they have some really good balance against each other. Both these quarterbacks are explosive. They have both powerful offenses and defenses alike. Andy Reid, 22-5 in a career record when coming off the bye. And that's exactly what Kansas City just did. I love the way that this matchup is going to start. And it's a perfect way to start our Sunday. Your thoughts on this game as we find out who has the AFC Championship game between Houston and Kansas City?
Yeah, the Texans played really well at home. They were the only home team that did win wild card weekend. And the funny side note I heard during the telecast, actually, of the Bills-Texans game, this is the second year in a row that the road teams have won three of four matchups. So it's kind of crazy how that one all came about. but I think this is going to be the offensive game of the divisional weekend. These two offenses are high powered. The Chiefs, we always know over the last couple of years, their defense has struggled and they have injuries. But I think this is going to turn into a shootout as long as the weather is good. I haven't seen the weather report yet, but if it's 30 degrees and no snow, you're going to see a track meet all day.
I'm really excited for this game. I'm excited for all these football games, but this one especially, I think watching Watson against Mahomes is going to be an absolute just a shootout. And I think you're right. The weather is really going to play a big part in this. Both their running backs, both their running game, other than, you know, Mahomes, I guess you could say, are really hit and miss. So I'd be really interested to see what happens as we move forward with this football game and the weather, especially into that. We end the divisional round Sunday night, 6:40 Eastern time, and we end it in Lambeau. And we know the weather will probably not cooperate there. And that's the Seattle Seahawks heading into Green Bay. The Packers are 2-0 at home versus the Seahawks in the postseason. Last time they played, though, they did not win. They were the away team. It was the very controversial call in the NFC Championship game, I believe it was, or the divisional round, 2014, I think it also was. And there was that onside kick that you could never forget. And Seattle Seahawks against the Green Bay Packers here. This is going to be a great game. This is going to be one of those football matchups, the perfect way to end our divisional round. Love to hear your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, one of those old school smash mouth style football games you're going to see. The weather's going to suck. It's going to be possibly snowing, very cold, but you're going to have a very good Seattle team with confidence, which they've been confident on the road all year. They've played very good on the road. And you've got the Packers. And I think this is going to be a statement game for Aaron Rodgers and his legacy, because over the last few years, whenever the Packers have had the bye off the first round and they've been either 15-1 the 1 year, and they had a really good record the other year on their bye, they actually lost that home game. So Rodgers has to really step up in this game, and we'll really see how LaFleur, being a rookie coach, can handle the pressure of the playoffs and having that bye and how ready this team is ready to go.
All right, I have to ask you, because I know all of our listeners are going to want to know exactly how you feel. So here you go. I'm putting you on the spot as we get ready for this divisional playoff round. Who will be the two teams for each conference playing for the Super Bowl as we finish off these games on Sunday? Let's start with the AFC. We have first the Tennessee Titans against the Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans against the Kansas City Chiefs. Who are the two teams that'll be in the AFC Championship next week?
I think with this one, with this round, I think we're not going to have a repeat of what the wild card round is. I think the home teams hold on to win close games, 3, maybe 4 point spreads here, but I think it'll be the Ravens and the Chiefs going to the semifinals.
All right. So the AFC Championship, you heard it from Ed here, would be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens if it happens. If that does occur, the Baltimore Ravens are the number one seed. The game would happen in Baltimore. All right. Let's end it off with the NFC Championship game. You have Minnesota Vikings against the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks against the Green Bay Packers. Are we going to see a 4-team home sweep, or is there maybe going to be an upset in the making?
This is the one I have them tough on. I like the Niners. I think they're going to handle business at home. Shanahan has experience. They've got a really good team. As long as they hold on to the ball, I think they win that game handily. The Packers scare me. Just not sure what's really going to happen. You know what? Let me take the upset. I'm going to take the Seahawks beating the Packers in Lambeau.
There you have it. You heard it from Ed. If that is the case, we will see the Kansas City Chiefs against the Baltimore Ravens and the Seattle Seahawks heading to San Francisco. There's the predictions right there. There's our OTH Daily predictions. If you disagree with them, if you love them, go ahead and comment on our Twitter below at OTH Daily Podcast. Ed, thanks again. Hope you enjoy the playoff games this weekend, and I'll see you back on here next week.
Sounds good, buddy. I'll talk to you later, and have a good weekend, everybody.
This is your NBA wrap-up. The Cleveland Cavaliers defeat the Detroit Pistons in overtime last night, 115-112. Cleveland will move to 11-27 on the year, and the Pistons will fall to 14-25. In Philadelphia, the 76ers sweep the series of the Boston Celtics 109-98. The Philadelphia 76ers move to 25-14, the Boston Celtics 25-11. In Minnesota, they defeat the Portland Trailblazers 116-102. Minnesota moves to 15-22 as the Trailblazers fall to 16-23. And finally, the Oklahoma City Thunder defeat the Houston Rockets by a large sum, 113-92. Houston will fall to 25-12 as OKC surprisingly looking pretty good at a 22-16 record. That's it for your NBA wrap-up. Next, we have Trav the GOAT, Trav Turner. You can find him on Twitter at 27Celtics. And we're going to discuss that 76ers-Boston Celtics game and what to look forward to for the rest of the weekend. Have a listen. Hey, Trav, how you doing? Happy Friday to you.
How's it going, Christian?
Hey, how you doing? And before we get into this weekend, we got a lot to talk about on the NBA side. As you just heard, the NBA scoreboard right before this segment here. But, Trav, you and I are going to get into something that is near and dear to your heart, and that is the Boston Celtics. As stated before, right before I introduced Trav here, you can find him on Twitter at 27Celtics. And, I mean, his Twitter handle tells you his bias just enough. This guy's a Celtics fan near and dear. He's the king of Celtics Twitter, if you will, Trav the GOAT. And I want to hear your take on this game last night. The 76ers wind up taking the season series from you with that win. Straight. And it was an unfortunate game. And I'd love to hear your take on this. And as we get into closer and closer towards the All-Star break, and we're going to get into some really serious games. So the Boston Celtics losing to the Philadelphia 76ers. What's your take?
Well, it's not even just that we lost to the 76ers and we lost the three in a row and the season series. We lost to the 76ers when we were up without Joel Embiid, and they still came back and beat us. We didn't rebound defensively. Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward were nowhere to be found. Tatum had 15 points. Tell me why Marcus Smart is the second leading scorer with 24 on the night. Why is that a thing? Why is he the second leading scorer when Tatum, Brown, and Hayward are all healthy, and Brown plays 34 minutes? Why is that a thing? Rebounding was atrocious. Yeah, they played it back-to-back, but, I mean, coming off another bad loss to the Wizards. And I know a lot of people on Twitter are freaking out, and Celtics fans are, you know, we lost two in a row. That doesn't really happen. I mean, we're, what, 28-11 now, I guess? Or 27-11, something like that? I don't think it's a reason to freak out, but at the same time, obviously, because we're going to be fine. We'll end up the two or three seed. But that is the thing. When you get to the playoffs and when you get later on in the year and you're looking at seeding, you know, you can say, yeah, okay, we dropped a game to the Wizards. Yeah, okay, we dropped the season series to the Sixers and we're going to be fine in the playoffs. That's fine. But, boy, it would have been nice to have, you know, a couple of those in our back pocket. You know what I mean? You need to beat a John Wall-less Wizards team. You have to beat them. There's really no excuse for that. And so, I mean, this is just going to fuel the fire on make a move for a big man, make a move for a big man before the trade deadline. But I'm not sure that's the right move. Tyson Cantor have been better than expected. And, you know, you got to give them their Tyson Cantor moments. I mean, you know, Cantor's not going to play great D all the time. He's been playing, I think, slightly above average D over the past maybe 10-game stretch. And I think that, you know, Tyce has been way better than expected, which, you know, comes with more minutes, I guess. But I'm not all in on moving Hayward for a big man just so Joel Embiid will get 25 instead of 35. You know what I mean? And maybe those 10 points are the difference in a playoff game. But I don't know if Gordon Hayward – I mean, because here's the thing. Gordon Hayward, if he's healthy 100% this year, he's an all-star. You see, he's like 7th or 8th maybe right now in the voting. You know, so if he's healthy all year, he's probably an all-star. And I'm not sure that cost is – I think that cost might be too high for – if we were going to get a big man, I'd love to get, like, a Nerlens Noel, but he's not going to get moved. The price would be too high. So I don't know. I think you just ride it out right now. Boy, that game hurts tonight. Or, I mean, last night. That game hurts.
Boston now on a 3-game losing streak.
and they moved to 25-11 in the Eastern Conference. Still good enough for third place in the Eastern Conference, 6.5 games back from Milwaukee. Milwaukee and Miami are both looking like some really stellar teams in the Eastern Conference. You said it, that you believe they'll still be a second or third team once the playoffs arrive. The East is a little more tough than we expected this season. However, it's starting to shift off with those top four or five teams compared to the rest of the field. As you stated earlier, you said Boston's going to sit that two or three seed. And you said that the trade with the big man is possibly that's something that's going to have to happen, or you believe that will happen. What really makes you feel like the Boston Celtics will stay at two or three seed for the rest of the season, and why trading for a big man really isn't the best bet for the Boston Celtics?
Well, first of all, who's the two seed right now? The Heat? I mean, we've drubbed the Heat. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we've played well against them. I don't think they're that good, to be honest with you. I mean, like, all right, yeah, Jimmy Butler's playing well, but, like, I don't know. I don't buy the Heat for some reason. I just don't. I don't think they're that good. And you know, Philly's got to get together because, yeah, they got the win against us tonight, but they're not playing good basketball right now. Toronto's okay, but they're hurt right now as well. And even with a fully healthy Raptors team, they just don't bother me. We've already beat them once. I think maybe, yeah, we beat them once. We lost on Christmas Day, I believe. No one's gonna unseat the Bucks, but I feel pretty confident it's either gonna be the two or the three seed. And I don't even know necessarily a trade for the big man it has to happen, but that's what Celtics Twitter wants, obviously. I mean, you know, you see everybody crying about Cantor, and you know, he makes a bad play, or sometimes he looks lost in a rotation, and everyone's calling for him to come out of the game and this, that, and the other. But I think we need to take a deep breath collectively. You know, and remember that it's not that bad because we could be the Houston Rockets and get blown out by 30 against OKC. So, you know, look, if the right big man is there, I trust that Angel snag him for the right price. He's already said he's not going to move any of the core. I support that. I think that you keep the wings. It'd be interesting to see if Iggy becomes available, if Andre Iguodala finally becomes available, and also the buyout market. You know, you never know who's going to get bought out. We'll see. Man, I really like Nerlens Noel. Well. I really like Willie Cauley-Stein for this team for some reason. I'm biased. I guess I like Kentucky. I don't see a big man worth the money.
When you look at the core of this Boston Celtics team, some of the names that really pop out are Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum. Obviously, we know those two guys will not be moved if there is any kind of trades for the Boston Celtics. But both of these players are in top 30 in scoring. Kemba Walker currently 23rd with 22.1. And Jason Tatum, 28th with 20.8 points per game. Both these guys have had stellar seasons so far. Kemba Walker's really found his own after moving over here from Charlotte. I'd like to hear your take about Kemba Walker real quick before we look into how Boston looks for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I called this, right? I mean, I wrote an article for OTH earlier in the year saying, listen, you know, don't be shocked when Kemba goes off because he's finally playing with people. He's not – because here's the thing. He was always a good player in Charlotte, but he also had the best defender every night. He drove the lane. He caught double and triple teams because he didn't have any help. Well, now all of a sudden you add another top 30 scorer in Tatum. You get Jaylen Brown. You get Gordon Hayward, former All-Star. And all of a sudden, the best defender is not necessarily on Kemba. I think the best defender is on Tatum, depending on who's going off. I mean, this is what opens up the floor. His presence opens up the floor. Because he can shoot the basketball, and he's not drawing the best defender anymore, and he's just slashing people. I mean, God forbid that the pick and roll actually works, and we get a big man on rotation. They just can't guard him. I mean, but it's just hilarious to listen to the call because they're not fast enough. They can't guard him. He just blows right by him and gets to the cup for an easy two. And so I don't want to say it like I told you so because, like, I didn't 100% know, obviously. Nobody did. Nobody knew he was going to react to the bright lights of Boston, but – I mean, the kid's always made big shots, you know, UConn and all that. And it's amazing to see what happens when someone gets the opportunity with minutes, and not necessarily minutes for Kemba Walker, but, you know, on a better team with help where he's not drawing the best defender, double teams, triple teams every single night. And just imagine where he might be right now had he been on a good team from the jump. You know, he might have a title or two by now instead of being locked up in Charlotte for the beginning of his career. I mean, just imagine, I think that, you know who I think Kemba's comparable to in terms of star power? I think CP3 back in the day. Like, you know, obviously he's not of his prime right now, but CP3 prime, I think that would have been much like Kemba Walker.
I like it.
Not that
I really
they play
do.
The same style or anything, but in terms of star power. and being a star point guard. I think those two are would have been comparable had Kemba started out somewhere with more exposure, with a winning culture, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, Trev, as we get into the weekend and prepare our listeners to what to expect for the NBA throughout the entire weekend, we will get to the big games momentarily. But first, I'd like to discuss tomorrow's game. New Orleans Pelicans will head into Boston and play the only game of the weekend for the Celtics. Boston coming in, as I said, 25-11. Pelicans only 13-25, still without Zion Williamson, and will be without him this weekend as well. He's coming back soon, but not soon enough to play the Celtics here. What's your thoughts on this game, and can they end the losing streak here in Boston, and can they get back in their winning ways?
Well, that's going to depend on them, right? I think that they can. I think that the game against the Wizards was lazy. They looked kind of, down, and especially after Kemba got thrown out of the game, which was BS, by the way.
Would you like to elaborate a little bit more on what Kemba got kicked out of the game for?
Yeah, sure. So after Kemba gets ejected, so they come and set a high screen, and it's clearly a foul. It's clearly a bad call. Kemba gets up. He's hot. He uses profanity at the official, which is an automatic technical by rule. And then he continues on using more profanity, which, again, by rule, another technical, and gets tossed out of the game. And after that, the Celtics just look dejected, and they look, lackadaisical. They're not – I mean, they weren't 100% hustling and all that. I would love to get on Twitter and talk about how much Jason Tatum is better than Brandon Ingram, because I don't even know why that's a conversation that we're having. Clearly, Jason Tatum is the better player. With respect to Zion not being back, good. I don't want to play him ever. I think he's a great player. I like him, but I don't want to play him, obviously. He just makes him better. So, I wish him the best. I hope he gets better, but I'm not necessarily upset that he's not playing the Celtics tomorrow. But, I think it's a bounce-back game. I think we can right the ship tomorrow, at least I hope, go into the weekend and get some rest after this, back-to-back-to-back. So, I don't know. We'll see. My hope is that we can blow them out of the water. That would be the ideal way to say, look, we lost two in a row, but doesn't matter because, we just mopped the floor with they're not obviously a good team wins and losses wise, but they got a lot of talent. I think they got some young kids that are going to be good for a long time. So I think it'd be a better win than if we went in like blew out the Knicks, right? I mean, the Knicks are trash. They're garbage. What a terrible organization. Boo. Always. But it would be a better win.
Speaking of the New York Knicks, that's exactly who the Pelicans play tonight. So they will have a back-to-back heading into the game tomorrow against the Celtics. So that might benefit your Celtics as well. Trev, as always, love you having on the air and hope to see you again next week. Got a lot more Celtics talk about as we get closer and closer to trade deadline. Got to hear all your trade buzz, all your hot takes. Really looking forward to that. Thanks for getting my listeners ready to go for their work week and getting into the weekend as we prepare for a great NBA weekend slate, and we'll get that for you here just in a minute. Appreciate you, Trev.
Sounds good, brother. See you next week.
In the NBA this weekend, some big games tonight. The Miami Heat will take on the Brooklyn Nets. Miami second in the East at 27-10. They'll face Brooklyn 16-20, but they're battling for a spot in that Eastern Conference playoffs. Also tonight, we'll see the Los Angeles Lakers head to Dallas to take on the Dallas Mavericks. Los Angeles 30-7 and the Dallas Mavericks 23-14 should be a really good matchup. That one is on at 9:45 Eastern Standard Time. Another great matchup for the Lakers will be back-to-back as they take on the OKC Thunder on Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Oklahoma City coming off a really good game against the Houston Rockets. They're 22-16, and they'll face those Lakers, as I said earlier, 30-7. Those Dallas Mavericks will go in to play Philadelphia as well on Saturday. 23-14, those Dallas Mavericks back-to-back after playing Los Angeles tonight, and the Philadelphia 76ers coming off that win, as we discussed earlier, against the Boston Celtics. And Sunday we have a couple good matchups on the slate as well, especially in Denver. The Los Angeles Clippers at 26-12 will face the Nuggets at 26-11. And that'll do it for the weekend watch for the NBA. Here's what's happening in college basketball. In women's college hoop last night, we had a major upset. The Baylor Lady Bears number 6 take down number 1 UConn Huskies by a score of 74-58. This win by Baylor ends the 98-game home winning streak for UConn. That's right, you heard that correctly, 98. So Baylor wins that game. Most likely will move into that top 3 spot as the season carries on, but UConn moves down to 74-58. A couple great matchups last night in top 25 college basketball. Oregon holds on in final overtime against Arizona, 74-73. Oregon 9 just holds on to against Arizona, who was ranked 24th in the nation. They'll probably look to fall out of the top 25. Another team that might fall out of the top 25 is the Memphis Tigers. Without James Wiseman, have not looked good, and they fall to Wichita State, number 23 in the nation, 76-67. The Michigan Wolverines, number 19 in the nation, will hold on in second overtime, two overtimes, against the Purdue Boilermakers, 84-78. Michigan State defeats Minnesota, 74-58. Number 8, Michigan State holds on and continues their winning ways. And number 1, Gonzaga, does their thing against San Diego University and puts on a beating, 94-50. As we look on to the top 25, we have two matches today. Number 12, Maryland will take on Iowa. Maryland 13-2 against a 10-5 Iowa Hawkeye team. That'll be taking place on 7 p.m. Eastern. And Butler 14-1 will take on Providence 10-6 at 9 o'clock Eastern as well. Butler 6th ranked in the country. As we look on for the weekend, we should see a lot of top 25 matchups, especially games such as Baylor and Kansas on Saturday, 1 o'clock. Kansas 3rd in the nation against Baylor, number 4, as well as two other top 25 matchups playing against each other. Virginia, number 17 in the nation, taking on number 22, Texas Tech. That'll also happen on Saturday at 6 p.m. And Sunday, we'll see 6 top 25 matchups in the slate. A couple games to mention for Sunday. Number 19, Michigan will take on Minnesota. Number 8, Michigan State, Purdue. And number 24, Arizona, take on Oregon State. That's it for your college basketball wrap-up. And that'll do it for us here at the OTH Daily Podcast for Friday, January 10th, 2020. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will see you back here bright and early Monday morning. Take care now.
Thanks for listening. Tune in weekdays right here at the OTH Daily Podcast.